Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
In case you've not heard, there are more problems with the Kentucky Derby. 2 years ago, there was a post-race disqualification for, it was a bumping call, I think, or interference. Maximum Security was the name of the horse. But this time, it's something different. This is about drugging the horse. And I got to tell you, I used to be a big horse racing fan until I started looking into this and what goes on with the horses. And the way the animals are mistreated, and you know, it's easy to get into my old Kentucky home and Maryland, my Maryland, and the pageantry and glamour of the Triple Crown. But I think if you do a little bit digging, you'll find out that this horse racing is it's not a nice business at all. Patrick Batuello joins us now, founder and president of Horse Racing Wrongs. Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Thank you for that introduction, too, because you hit the nail on the head.
Tell me about Medina Spirit in terms of, well, let me get to the trainer first, Bob Baffert. I was watching a soundbite of him yesterday saying that there was no way he drugged this horse, that it could have been anybody that was around the horse. He would never do anything like that. But then he said, plus they tested a ridiculously low level, which to me made me wonder, well, wait a minute, you just said that there was no way, but now you're complaining about the level of testing. And there's a history with this guy also with Baffert. Talk about the drug, if you will, Patrick, betamethasone and what it does to the horses, et cetera, and the horse racing industry in general.
Sure. So it's important that your listeners know this is not a case of doping, which is an illegal, you know, drugging of these horses. This is a regulated, legitimate drug used. It's an anti-inflammatory, so it's not going to enhance performance in any way. I have to say that, you know, much of what he says rings true. Baffert, I'm speaking of, you know, he is the most scrutinized trainer on the planet. This is the most scrutinized race on the planet. Why would he run the risk of a drug positive? That said, taken, you know, especially over the past year, this is his fifth positive. Taken all that together, you know, maybe there is something there. You know, each individual case that he's been hit with over the past 12 months, in a vacuum, you could, you know, make a reasonable case that what he is saying is true. One was the, you know, the feed was contaminated with Jimson weed. Another one, there was a lidocaine patch worn by his assistant trainer that, you know, affected the horses. And then another one, which is probably the most ridiculous sounding, is that one of his grooms was recovering from COVID and urinated in the stall, and he was on a cough suppressant, and that affected the horse. That was at Del Mar in San Diego. So, you know, it sounds kind of crazy, and he is all over the place. I mean, at one point he referenced cancel culture. You know, this is the reason he's being picked on. But at the same time, it's really important that people know, and you referenced this at the beginning, that we're missing the forest for the trees here if we get into the weeds on drugs. Yes, drugging is a problem. Yes, drugging is one of the wrongs of horse racing, you know, but over 2,000, well over 2,000 horses are killed racing or training every year across America, and the vast majority of these deaths have nothing to do with drugs. In addition, these horses are kept locked alone in tiny 12-by-12 stalls for over 23 hours a day, which a prominent equine vet has likened to keeping a child in a 4-by-4 closet for that same time. These are naturally social herd or animals that are kept locked alone in solitary confinement, horrible. And, of course, multiple thousands of these athletes, as the industry calls them, are bled out and butchered at career's end every year. So yeah, it's important that we – go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to take a break here. We'll pick it up when we come back because and again, this isn't it's not very nice to talk about, but it is the truth where you see stories of the animals being slaughtered in front of the other. and the horse is aware of what's going on, and it's just especially cruel, and it's easy to get caught up in the slow motion of the horses running in the open pastures of Kentucky, et cetera. But what is not told are the things that happen in the back barns, I guess, and in terms of how many horses actually make it to that level and what happens to the ones that don't. 8:21 more when we come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Let's look at traffic now. 8:25 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about this Medina Spirit Kentucky Derby mess. Bob Baffert, the trainer, they don't know what's going to happen with the Preakness, whether or not the horse is going to run. At some pretty implausible excuses, I guess, that are being given as to how the horse got the drug into its system, and the trainer himself has had previous problems with horses that have had this in their system. So let's continue our conversation with Patrick Batuello, founder and president of Horse Racing Wrongs. And again, you said you didn't want to get lost in the weeds on this. Talk about, if you will, Patrick, drugging of horses in general, and what's allowed, what isn't allowed, and is there a way to change horse racing so it would be, humane to the animal?
To your second part, absolutely not. You know, we maintain that horse racing is inherently cruel and inevitably deadly. So no matter what they do with drug reform, and you know, many of your listeners probably heard about the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act, which was signed into law in December. That is singularly focused, or almost singularly focused, on drugs, to a lesser extent, track surfaces.
But for those that don't know, Patrick,
sure.
Tell us about it.
So it's going to create this, what's called the authority, and it's going to be a board made up of 9 individuals, 5 independent and 4 from the industry. And they're going to make a uniform set of medication rules for the entire country. So currently, you know, 35 odd racing states have their, you know, each of them have their own rules and penalties. So, you know, what applies in one state doesn't necessarily apply in another. And as Baffert said, you know, that positive at Churchill Downs would not have been a positive in California. So, you know, this on paper sounds really good, you know, uniform drugging regulations and penalties and enforcement from outside the industry all sounds really good. But again, that's just drugs. It does nothing about the confinement, the intensive confinement of these animals. It does nothing about whips, and it does nothing about slaughter. And I, you know, argue, and my data proves it, we've been doing this since 2013, that it will not significantly impact the number of horses who are being killed every year. And that's what people need to focus on. You know, look at the raw data as we report it. And this all, by the way, all of our information comes through FOIA requests to state racing commissions. So it's all backed up 100%. You know, starting, I call the inevitability of dead racehorses. It starts with the way they're bred. They're bred for speed, big torso, spindly legs, fragile ankles. They are first put to work at the age of 18 months, which on the maturation chart is the rough equivalent of a 5-year-old child. So a typical horse won't fully mature until 6. So years before their bodies are done forming, they are put into intensive training and raced at 2. These are pubescents. And then, of course, what happens on a racetrack, you know, they're being forced to run at a breakneck speed with some artificial herd with a perched whip-wielding human. You know, all these things combined lead to, again, a certain guaranteed level of killing.
Patrick, before we run out of time, we only have about 30 seconds left. Talk about that, if you will, because, you know, I remember asking my daddy about a horse, and he said, well, unlike a car, you got to keep feeding a horse. If a car doesn't run, you don't have to burn gasoline. There is no humanity or no humane, really, treatment for these horses that don't make it. They're sold for food, are they not?
Absolutely. The great majority of spent or simply no longer wanted racehorses end their lives in equine hell, the slaughterhouse. And, you know, you mentioned it at the beginning. It is particularly, you know, egregious for horses because they're prey animals, they're flight animals. They are terrified in these slaughterhouses. So people need to know that the majority of the horses that they are watching on a Sunday afternoon at their local track will end up at the slaughterhouse. and there's no fixing that. There's
Thank
no
you,
place
Patrick.
To put these animals. Thank you.
I appreciate your time. I hope you come back. Do some research on this, folks, and you'll see that he's not lying about what he's talking about. 8:30 time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.